This is a special series of Bible studies on the Gospel of Mark. It was done at the request of the Far East Broadcasting Company. The scripture reading is done by my good friend Ken Brooks. Yes, this is the Emmaus Bible Hour, a program for you and your family, a time to study the Bible together. We're glad to have you with us during study time on the Bible School of the Air today. As you know, we're studying together the Gospel of Mark. And so if you're a regular listener or here for the first time, we're glad to have you in our radio classroom. We've been studying together this week the seventh chapter of the Gospel of Mark. To bring you up to date, last time we noted that the Pharisees and scribes criticized the disciples for eating bread with impure hands. Maybe they'd been spying on them at the feeding of the 5,000. Now, it wasn't a matter of the disciples not washing their hands, but the fact that they didn't wash them the way the Pharisees did, in a very special, ceremonial way. The Lord Jesus answered these men by saying that they were hypocrites, making their own man-made traditions more important than the Word of God. In fact, even neglecting the Word of God. How very true this is. As we read through the New Testament, we find that these men who were so careful about ceremonially washing their hands, they were later shedding innocent blood with those hands. We read about that in Acts chapter 2, as Peter charged them with the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And while the Lord Jesus was on the subject of the Pharisees and their traditions, he mentioned the korban. It was a means by which a man could offer all that he had to the priest when he died, but then he could still use the money while he lived. It would later go to the priest. And yet if his parents came to him for money, he could just shrug his shoulders and say, well, it was already offered, and they couldn't change it. It's said that Pilate built an aqueduct around 80 kilometers long with korban money. You remember that Pilate and some of these religious leaders were very close. The Savior sought to show the people that the matter of eating, having defiled hands, etc., was not the greatest thing. The matter to concern them was what came from the body. He listed 13 forms of poison that come from a person. Some in the list were evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, envy, slander, pride. Now, this was revolutionary. This was a completely new concept. We know from the events that followed that they rejected his teaching. They rejected the Lord Jesus. He had been rejected in his hometown, and now he was rejected by the religious leaders. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And now he goes outside of Jewish territory for the first time in his earthly ministry. He travels northwest to the land of Phoenicia. Let's read about it in Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 26.
And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre. And when he had entered a house, he wanted no one to know of it, yet he could not escape notice. But after hearing of him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter.
The Lord Jesus traveled to a seacoast town along the Mediterranean Sea. Tyre had a famous harbor. It was also famous as a fortress. The first sailors who used the stars in their navigation sailed from this area of Tyre. But the one who made the stars was there that day. A Gentile woman heard that he was there, and she came to tell him about her daughter who had a demon. Notice carefully the answer of the Lord Jesus. This is Mark 7, verse 27.
And he was saying to her, Let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.
Now to us this seems rather harsh, but I want you to look at it carefully. Dogs were on a pretty low level at that time. To call a person a dog was much like calling someone that today. But the Lord Jesus doesn't use the common word for dog here. He uses the word for puppy or lap dog, for a pet. Now this puts the whole picture into a different focus. Here's the way one author describes the incident. The picture was of a family meal with pet dogs running around the table. She accepted the title and the place which the dogs had. They had no portion of the meal, she agreed. Certainly not the children's portion. But they had a fragment, the crumbs that fell from the table. Knowing the love of children for dogs, one can see the children slipping the dogs some morsels of bread or meat. She was quick in her wit, and instead of resenting Christ's words about the dogs, she instantly turned it to the advantage of her plea and for her daughter. Christ saw her faith, and he cast out the evil spirit. Upon returning home, she saw that her daughter was cured. She was laid upon the bed. One wonders if she had experienced a fearful convulsion when the demon departed, since the word laid means thrown. Nevertheless, the demon had gone for good. The writer means that in the original, the word has the idea of being thrown, possibly thrown by the demon. One thing we're sure of is that another victory had been won by the Lord Jesus over the powers of evil. In the latter part of the chapter, we read of the Lord Jesus going to Decapolis, or the area of the 10 cities. If you'll recall, this is the place that he had sent that wild man of Gadara, the man who had the legion of demons within him before the Lord Jesus cast them out. The people of that area asked the Savior to leave at that time. But after the testimony of this man, the Lord Jesus received a different reception. Notice this in Mark chapter 7, verses 32 to 35.
And they brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they entreated him to lay his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude by himself and put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva. And looking up to heaven with a deep sigh, he said, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was removed, and he began speaking plainly.
We see the love and consideration of the Lord Jesus in this case. He took the man aside from the multitude and healed him. It's hard to be deaf, to have people talking to you and you can't hear them. But the Savior was considerate. He was not only considerate, but he was able to help. And so the people were astonished. They were saying, He hath done all things well. He makes the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. Yes, he does everything well. And he wants to accomplish things for you. He wants to save you if you'll just give him the opportunity.